Well, as a promise, I've got Michael Swain, the Executive Director for SA Online, to tell us more about the CRL's S22 committee agenda. It's been exposed. Michael, what exactly is a white paper, and what does this one in particular reveal? And can I add to that question, why does it raise alarm bells for people like yourselves, for SA and for the religious community in South Africa?
Oh, well, thank you, Ben. And so this Section 22 committee, which the CRL Rights Commission set up and gave a mandate, among other things, to look at strategies to curb spiritual transgressions and to develop a legislative framework, it has produced a white paper. It's a draft white paper, but it outlines a detailed legal framework of the regulatory system that it envisaged overseeing the functioning of all religions in South Africa. So what is a white paper? Well, a white paper is typically an official statement of government policy, and it's usually prepared by a government department after public consultation. And it will obviously do things like setting out the background objectives and the proposed framework for new legislation or a major policy shift. Now, let's just clarify this. This document by the committee is not official government policy. It's merely a draft that the committee has produced. It's a committee of the CRL Rights Commission, so it represents them. But there has been no consultation yet, and it's not in its final form. It hasn't been reviewed by Parliament or any government department. But however, that does not mean that there's no reason for concern, because this white paper reveals a clear outcome, which in our view confirms everything that 4SA has been warning about in terms of the push for state regulation of religion by the CRL. This Section 22 committee's report is not about self-regulation at all, but it shows a definite intention to implement a system of state control over religion. And what it does is it outlines a comprehensive legislative framework which would show how the state would regulate, license, and discipline, very importantly, faith communities. And what's particularly concerning is that this has been written and produced and released before a single consultation has taken place. Wow. So it's a clear policy direction, and it indicates that the entire process, we believe, is a predetermined and desired outcome. So let's just look at what the system would do, because it would literally grant a government-recognized body the authority to monitor, suspend, or penalize churches, mosques, temples, any faith group based on how they operate. And, of course, this challenges the very core of South Africa's constitutional protection of religious freedom.
So, Michael, by the sound of it, can I ask you, how does this line up with South Africa's constitution? It sounds like a major violation of religious freedom in our country. What do you say?
Well, absolutely. It does not line up with the constitution. It's actually completely at odds with the constitution. The Section 15 guarantees everyone the right of religion, belief, opinion, and that includes the right to live out and express those beliefs freely as individuals and, of course, within and as communities. So when the state begins deciding what constitutes a legitimate belief or how it can be expressed, it clearly oversteps the boundaries that the constitution protects. Again, and this is concerning, despite assurances that the CRL and the committee did not intend or do not intend to interfere with doctrine, these proposals in this white paper, which includes broad and vague definitions of things like spiritual transgression, as I mentioned, obviously open the door to interference in doctrine. And in any case, you know, we strongly believe, by the way, that there's no such thing as spiritual transgression. If we're talking crime, abuse is a crime. Crime is a crime. It doesn't matter who commits it. There's no such thing as a spiritual crime. You know, if someone exploits a position of authority and trust and commits a crime, for example, a religious leader, then obviously they should also be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. And maybe the fact that they held that position of trust, that should be considered an aggravating circumstance at the point of sentencing, assuming that they're found guilty.
So Michael, but the CRL says it aims to protect people from harm, abuse in religious spaces. Wouldn't you say that's a legitimate goal, though?
Yeah, absolutely it is. And we support that goal wholeheartedly. You know, any form of abuse or fraud or exploitation, that should be confronted wherever it occurs. And of course, and it's important to note, we also have comprehensive, extensive laws to address this, from, you know, the Criminal Law Sexual Offences Act, Children's Act, Non-Profit Organisations Act. And you might remember the so-called Prophet of Doom. Yeah. He was the guy who sprayed insecticide in the faces of congregants and claimed God told him it would heal them. Well, he was rightly charged with 5 counts of assault, and he was duly convicted and given a suspended jail sentence along with a hefty fine. And this is really the point. You know, when the law is properly applied and enforced, it works. The real need and the real lack, perhaps, is for effective and efficient law enforcement. They don't need new powers to police belief. And of course, again, when the state begins to regulate theology or religious practice, it ceases to become about protection. It just becomes much more about control. So our position has always been, let the law run its course. Yeah. That's what it's there for. But it's the state's responsibility to make sure that it's properly enforced and effectively enforced, not the church's.
Speaking to 4SA's Executive Director, Michael Swain, talking about the draft white paper and to evaluate its constitutionality. Michael, can I ask you, just for the man in the street, what exactly does this draft white paper propose? Would you put it in a nutshell so that the man in the street, a 12-year-old, can understand it, please?
I will certainly try. So what it's going to do, or what it proposes doing, is to establish a body. It calls this body a religious peer review council. That will be a multi-faith body with diversity quotas, and it will have extensive powers that obviously extend well beyond moral guidance and accountability. Let me give you an example. One of the things it can do is it can issue what it calls restricted activity notifications. And that would prevent a church, pastor, or organization from even operating while an allegation is being investigated. So effectively, it can shut you down as a pastor or your whole church down based on an allegation or even suspicion. Another thing it can do is it can require what it calls mandatory training or supervision for ministers who it deems to have erred, and it effectively decides who is fit to serve in ministry in that sense. It can revoke or suspend marriage officers' licenses, which is quite a serious thing. It can impose fines or enforce what it calls approved spiritual practices as some form of restitution. So, you know, every one of these powers on their own would be concerning, but together, obviously, this forms a system where the state, via this regulatory authority, would be able to control, suspend, or silence religious leaders and organizations. And of course, once you grant that authority to the state, you don't have religious freedom anymore. You have religion subject to government license, which is obviously able to be revoked by the state at any time.
Michael, is there examples of this kind of system anywhere else in the world? And why should it matter then to us here as South Africans?
Well, yes, there are. And the CRL chair herself said that she's looking at other jurisdictions to guide South Africa's legislative solution. So let's take Rwanda. Rwanda is a very good example. You know, every religious leader in Rwanda must hold a degree in religious studies, which is approved by the state and from what it calls an accredited organization. Churches and religious bodies, you have to submit your internal bylaws to your local district authorities and get a collaboration letter from them in order to be allowed to operate. Obviously, they want annual reports disclosing all sources of funding and spending. You have to, every year, pay a service fee, it calls it, of 25,000 rand per organization. And any form of political speech is banned. And if you're non-compliant, you can be shut down. Now, let me just say how it's been applied. 10,000 churches, plus minus, have already been closed, some permanently, most permanently, for non-compliance. And that country, by the way, has 1/5 of South Africa's population. So, you know, just do the maths and times that by 5, and you get a sense of what might happen in this country if this type of thing comes into play. So we just have to be absolutely clear. that South Africa's constitution was written specifically to prevent this kind of intrusion, obviously in the wake of our own history of political control over belief and conscience.
So, Michael, this is a draft white paper, proposed white paper. How did it end up with for SA and you know, what's the CRL's response to this?
Well, it was actually put out on Facebook. Somebody got hold of a copy of it and put it out on Facebook. We have every confidence that it's legitimate, that it comes from the Section 22 committee. And the CRL has been strangely silent on this. I think, you know, obviously the CRL chair herself has been in Parliament recently promising that this is going to be self-regulation, that this is not going to be state control, that they will deeply respect religious freedom rights as granted by the Constitution. But at the very least, I would suggest that given that everything that I have said in this interview already, it shows a clear indication that that is in fact not the intention, that the intention is a predetermined outcome which would end up with a system of state control of religion. And I would challenge the CRL or the Section 22 committee to come and defend their position at any time.
So as you very clearly stated, this is so contrary to the South African constitution. What does 4SA recommend instead then? Are there solutions to this problem, Michael?
Yes, and we've put those forward. But I think the first thing to point out, by the way, is that the vast majority of those working in faith communities are doing a fantastic job. You know, their contributions are a vital part of our nation's fabric. They play an important role in the lives of millions and millions of people in this nation. So, yes, there are problems. They need to be addressed. But there are much better, we believe, and less restrictive ways to move forward. Obviously, law enforcement, we've mentioned, that's a very critical element. Apply the law, enforce the law to the full extent of the law. But the other thing, of course, is that there's a lot of mutual accountability and peer accountability among ministers of faith. There are many fraternals. I mean, SACOF, for example, is a major church network organization, which was started in 2021, in fact, and now represents some 20,000 plus churches, about 5 million Christians. So, again, there's a lot of organizations that are bringing greater levels of accountability, and that's a good thing. The other thing is that, of course, you know, we have already in this country developed a religious freedom charter, and which was a recommendation, by the way, of the COGTA Parliamentary Portfolio Committee the last time this was discussed. They have developed, the faith communities have developed a code of conduct. And that's very important because that clearly sets and outlines the ethical standards that you can reasonably expect from faith communities. We recommend that people take both the Religious Freedom Charter and the Code of Conduct and look at them, that churches adopt them. And of course, the other thing we say to the CRL is you have a statutory mandate to deliver training and education. That's their primary mandate. And that would also, of course, help people to understand what their obligations are to. Pastors may be non-compliant, and that's true. But often it's not because they willfully wake up in the morning and want to do unlawful things. It's because maybe they don't know or they don't know how. And that is precisely one of the things that the CRL can help with. So we think all these solutions promote integrity, but they don't violate constitutional rights. And we will be engaging and continue to engage with the CRL and with Parliament on these issues.
Well, Brandpunt, being part and parcel of a Christian radio station, we here at Radio Pulpit, the majority of our listeners are Christians this morning. Can I ask you this? As listeners and even those who's non-Christians, wherever this might go on podcast or anything, why is it so important to stay on top of this issue, stay informed about matters that affects our rights to religious freedom in South Africa?
Well, I think the first thing to say is, of course, the right to religious freedom isn't just the people of faith.
Yeah.
It is literally a cornerstone of every other democratic freedom. You know, because if the state can control what you believe or say or your conscience or opinion, it can also control what you say about other matters, whether they're matters of morality or politics or even conscience. So this is a very critical constitutional crisis, I think, that we have to be aware of. And we need to step up and defend our right to believe and to speak and to live freely. Because once you've lost that, then all other freedoms are at risk. And we also recommend people do take action because people want to know, what can I do? And on our website, which is forsa.org.za, that's forsa.org.za, or you can Google Freedom of Religion South Africa, you'll find us. We have a link there to a petition and join the literally tens of thousands of people now who are saying no to this initiative and to push back against this attempt to regulate religion by the state. And of course, we have on our website as well, resources. You can subscribe to our newsletter and you can follow us on Facebook and on YouTube.
That then, Michael Swain, the Executive Director for SA, Freedom of Religion SA, that spoke to us about the CRL's S22 committee agenda that has been exposed, leaked, so to speak, onto Facebook. It's in the public domain and, well, certainly stuff to worry about. The program where we take a closer look at the issues shaping our faith, our freedom and our public life in South Africa. Michael Swain, thank you so much for chatting to us here at Brandpunt.
Thank you, Ben, and always a pleasure to be on the show.